That Middle Interview.
This is Brian Tracamonte. You're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
Brian Truck is our guest for this episode of That Metal Interview with your friend James here. Thank you guys for supporting our podcast on whichever format is of your preference, of course. And Vante is V-A-N-T-E, V for Victor, right? So check out their socials, YouTube page, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and support them. You guys see him jamming out there, support them. They have a new album out, self-titled album, Vante. It just came out this June 17th, 2022. And the band is comprised of many musicians that have been around the world, toured the world. Scott McClellan has jammed with Tony Martin. You got musicians that have jammed with Michael Schenker Group, toured with these people. This is just an all-star band all around, and Brian is going to talk about that. So anyways, I want to check out a brand new video by these guys by the title of Going With The Flow. So let's check it out. We'll be right back.
In
Now, isn't that some badass rock and roll? You can call it metal, you can call it rock. To me, it's just awesome stuff. Vante, check it out. V-A-N-T-E. And we have Brian with us, the lead vocalist, and he's going to talk to us about his career and about this brand new debut album, self-titled that is, Dark Star Records. And let's go straight to the interview and let's see what our chat is like with Mr. Brian Trock. Check it out. What part of the world are you at?
I'm in the northern United States, Upper Peninsula in Wisconsin, and near the UP of Michigan, and up in Door County, Wisconsin.
Awesome. So let's speak of brand new debut album, self-titled, Vante, Dark Star Records, came out June 17th, right? Can you talk to us about the recording of this, the riffs, the lyrics, who's responsible for all this stuff?
Sure. So it started with myself and guitar player Scott McClellan. We met and started chatting. We wrote that first track on the album. It was the first song we wrote together, Why Is It So Cold? And we were kind of like, wow, we kind of got something cool here. So we did another track, and that is I Stand on the album. Then everything kind of got shelved for a couple of years because he was finishing up working on the album with Tony Martin, like the ex-Black Sabbath singer Tony Martin.
Nice.
And he played on that Thorns album. And once they finished that, and I finished another project called L.A. Waits for No One, those albums were done. And we were like, hey, you know, let's revisit this and keep going. So we started writing again. And, everything started flowing really naturally. So an EP turned into maybe a longer EP and then a short album. And then we were like at 10 songs. And I always put it as we couldn't shut the spigot off once we opened it, I swear. together. And then when we got Rev Jones involved, a bass player who Rev Jones has played with tons of people. He was really well known for being in the Michael Schenker group for 12 years, I think.
Nice.
So when we got him involved, then him and I started writing together, and then Scott got involved with that. So there, and it all kind of conglomerated into this really cool fusion of stuff and influences. So really, that's how that came about. You know, we had the two songs, then we had the little hiatus, and then we started writing again. Then everything just really took off, and then I said, why don't we just write a whole album? And then that was it. Then we wound up capping it at 14 songs, even though we had a couple more we could have mixed and mastered and finished, but we were just like, we got to stop somewhere.
Right? 14 is a lot of songs right there, yeah.
A lot of songs. It may have been too many, but, you know, it was what we felt we needed to get out of us at the time, so we did.
And it's all good. I mean, it's the more rock for us rock fans, the better, you know? The more metal.
Yeah.
So that was one of my questions. How was Vante born? But I guess you kind of explained it a little bit there, right?
Yeah. And that was pretty much it as far as, like, the name goes. A lot of times I think people expect some big, deep answer as to why you came up with a name. And really, we were kind of like, well, we definitely don't want to force a name. And, you know, all these other ideas, I was just like, no, it'll come to us when it comes to us, you know. And Scott texted me, you know, we were texting back and forth about something. And I don't even remember what it's about, but it was about the song I Stand and the intro. He said, it sounds like it's out of a vampire or something. It's weird. And I said, and I texted back, like, I vant to suck your blood, V-A-N-T. And he said, vant.
Vante, yeah.
And then we went, wow, what a cool name, vant. And I looked it up, and it actually had meanings in Eastern philosophy and all this weird stuff. And I said, okay, this is really cool. So then it turns out there was a British, like a indie rock punk kind of guy. His last name is Vaughn, so he called the band Vaughn. So the name was taken.
Yeah.
Wow. It morphed into Vante, and the name was available. And I said, he's like, why? Why are we going to pick that? Other people used it. I said, I don't know. For some reason, it just rolled off my tongue. I was like, I knew one thing for sure. Didn't want a preconceived notion of what the name should be. I just wanted it to happen, and I wanted it to be a short, one-word, memorable thing. So, and something that you put on merch that would be cool. So that's really kind of how the name came to be, because I texted, I want to suck your blood.
Yeah, like Dracula's, yeah.
Yeah.
Want to suck your blood. Yeah.
stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
And I knew that would be a cool, you could make a really cool logo out of that name. So cool.
Yeah, so that's a cool, kind of cool story. So how about the album cover? That's a very cool cover. I saw it. Who came up with it and who is that person?
Oh, I worked with, oh my God. Why can't I? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. Cool. Oh, he's going to kill me. Hold on a second. I can actually.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It happens.
I worked with a graphic artist, and, you know, I found the image we needed to use and manipulate. I knew I wanted a face. I had something a little more complicated in mind, but then I thought something simple would be really cool, and just a face would be cool. We were going to do a collage of different parts of every person who played on the album's face and put it together, and I said, it's kind of been done before, too. I said, so I saw that the thing that I had in mind, you know, this it fit perfect. So there's a graphic artist out of Columbia, South America. Not the Columbia, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, Harley, that's his name.
Okay.
Vasquez. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Like Emilio Estevez, yeah.
Do you know him?
No, I'm just saying Emilio Estevez, the actor, yeah.
No, not Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
No. Oh, man, I'm sorry. This is awkward. Hold on.
Yeah.
But I give him his props because you asked, so.
It's okay. It happens, you know, we're human, you know?
Yeah. Harley Vasquez, I believe his name is. So, all right, there was enough time spent on that. Sorry.
Very cool.
Continue.
Yeah, big shout out to him if he's listening to.
That's right.
Yeah. That's cool. It's a very, very cool cover. I saw that. And who is that person?
He was cool to work with. He also did a cover for me for my industrial kind of metal project that's called My Infected Soul. There was a single called Watch the World Burn, and he did a cool cover for that one as well. That's why I hired him to do this one. So
what's going on there with My Infected Soul? Is that done for, or...?
No, I just released a single Infected in a video for it. It's a really cool video too. And I do all my own videos, so.
Okay.
For that and Vontae as well. I did all the videos for Vontae.
Oh, really? Okay, I gotta check that out. I gotta check that other band out, yeah. Very cool.
Was Infected Soul?
Yeah. I gotta check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of it's got like an industrial rave metal mixture. You know, some people compare it to Nine Inch Nails or Rob Zombie or that type of stuff, but it's also got a very orchestrated component to it and a cinematic component to it. It's very theatrical, at least cinematic. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, you should check it out.
Is it any of the Vontae guys or just different people? Or
no, it's mainly just me. And then there was a composed, and I worked with some of the songs with Spencer Cregan, who is in Canada, and he's a orchestra leader, and he does film and movie stuff, and we got together on all the orchestration and stuff. It's really quite cool. I'm kind of releasing, I have a whole album's worth of stuff, but I'm just kind of putting them out one single at a time with a video with each song.
How can metal rock fans find that stuff online? Is it under My Infected Soul on Facebook and all that, or how can we find it?
Yep, My Infected Soul.
Just like that, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. For people listening, you guys can check it out. My Infected Soul. As far as Vontae, I mean, I'm a musician too. I play guitar here in Texas, and I can imagine having a band like that. I mean, everybody's experienced. You said Scott played with on Thorns of Tony Martin. And that's just cool. It must sound badass live. I haven't seen you guys live, but I know the music, right?
Yeah, we're going to be Rev Jones, bass player right now. He's, matter of fact, he was just finishing up his traveling to Australia for the last couple of days because he's also George Thorogood's guitar tech. So
wow.
Right now he's in Australia for a month. When he comes back in November, you know, he's free for like 3 months or so, and we're talking about getting some shows together then. But I know he had mentioned wanting to play the Whiskey out in L.A. and doing a couple nights at the Whiskey A Go-Go. And then, you know, Jeff Totoro, who played four tracks on the album, and an old friend of mine from one of my old groups, Shooting Hemlock. That's another thing they can check out, is Shooting Hemlock. That was Joey Belladonna's band from Anthrax.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, when he went back to Anthrax, they wanted to fill the slot, and I ended up flying out there back and forth, then moving out to Boston for like 3 years.
Okay.
And now that's Jeff met, and what the hell, why did I bring Jeff off now? God, guide me here. Oh. what was the original subject back before I went off into my...
Oh, yeah, yeah, about the way it probably sounds live, Avante, having all these having all these experienced people in there and all that, yeah.
Right, right. So, you know, logically, maybe on the way back or there, whatever, we could hit Vegas, too, and maybe do a show with Jeff, maybe at Vamped or something in Vegas, and then maybe a couple Chicago shows. As far as a tour thing goes, you know, that would be great and all. Festival thing would be ideal, but the fact that we're also spread out is logistically challenging as well. So, and everybody having different schedules. Chris Moore, another drummer who played, is up in upstate New York. He played on 10 of the 14 tracks, and he is just phenomenal too, and another great, just a great human being as well. So,
wow, very cool.
So, Rev, who's in Oklahoma, and Scott, who's down in Southern Illinois. So, but we did we recorded the whole album 100% remotely.
Yeah, it's going to sound badass like that. Live, it's going to sound badass for sure.
live, there's no doubt in my mind that will completely crush. As a matter of fact, people will walk away from Avante's show saying, oh, wow, they sound a lot heavier than they did on the album.
Wow, that's a good sign.
I can guarantee that.
So you're saying you're the replacement for Belladonna on the other project?
I was back when Shooting Hemlock was formed. We ended up becoming Shooting Hemlock, and there was a guitar player, one of my, whose name is Joe Stump, who has been around a long time too, and he was the guitar player, and he was kind of well-known neoclassical Yngwie type player guy. So it was an interesting mix between me and Jeff, and the bass player that we had who was really great. But they all played with Joey's band when it was Belladonna, and then he went back, and then
That's cool. Wow. Not just anybody can say that. I mean, hey, I got called in to replace Chuck Billy for his other project, badass, you know. Somebody called you out to replace Belladonna. That tells you, that speaks volumes right there. I mean, you're badass. Yeah. Awesome. Very cool.
Chuck Billy and John Bush are two singers I was often compared to back when I sang for Cyclone Temple.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Give us an update on Cyclone Temple. Yeah.
Oh, Cyclone Temple was, man, we were just, not talking about a band that would destroy live. Greg had probably the best right hand, picking hand. And the songs were strong. Everything was great. Yeah, we got signed to Combat Relativity back then. It was a big top-notch deal and everything. And video on Headbangers Ball on MTV. A few big tours. Some East Coast legs with the Obituary, Godflesh, Napalm Death thing that we played all up and down the East Coast with them a couple of times.
Nice.
So it was great. I mean, we were playing for packed houses all the time. I mean, you had your occasional little nightmare gigs thrown in between here and there, but for the most part,
it happens.
They were large places, and it was really great. It was a lot of fun, and that was back in '91.
Oh wow. So you've been at it for 30 plus years,
Bands, if you like melodic thrash, early 90s melodic thrash, Cyclone Temple, the album I Hate Therefore I Am, man, I guarantee you'll be like, how did I miss this, and where can I get it?
Any chance of the band recording something new?
No, you know, we've tried... Greg and I, I just know Greg's kind of moved on musically, and he does Sweet Diesel Jenkins, and you know, I would probably if we had put together say one big one-off show somewhere where it was really heavily promoted, people would have to fly into it, and I mean, we have Cyclone Temple has fans all over the world. I already have people saying I'd fly in for it. I'd fly in from Greece. I'd fly in from here.
Wow.
And you know, in that event, I would definitely do a reunion show, but I just don't see it in the cards. And, you know, and I honestly, I've kind of moved on musically too, but I'd probably still do it.
You never know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. So at what age did you start singing? Were you kind of young or?
In the womb.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, no, I don't know, as long as I can remember.
Nice.
So apparently when I was like two and whatever, I was I was like show baby, they me or something. So I guess that's what, yeah. And then, you know, then I got into playing snare drum and then cornet and trumpet. Discovered electric guitar around, 12-ish, 13-ish, right around that time. And then, boy, that was it. And then, after that, I started listening to more rock music and stuff like that, early UFO and Scorpions and all that kind of stuff back in that day. And then Judas Priest and all the Iron Maiden, for sure.
All your life. Yeah, you're just born with the talent. And
yeah, I did theater too, and I was in chorus and choir and all that stuff too, and was in theater and I even played in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, you did?
Later up in Syracuse, New York, for really, yeah, big theater, packed house, big production. That was great. I played the part of Honest in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Nice.
Kind of on my bucket list.
Very cool.
And, really cool.
Wow.
Where Jeff Tatora, the drummer for Shooting Hemlock, and the bass player lived too in Syracuse, so it all worked out.
Cool. Well, didn't know that. So what's on your playlist? What do you listen to besides rock, metal, or is that all you listen to? Or do you listen to pop, country, or jazz?
No way. Yeah, there's traditionally I was brought up, I sang Motown, blues, jazz,
cool,
and soul music. Matter of fact, you want to hear a funny story?
Sure, with you? Of course.
The day Greg called me in to try out for Cyclone Temple, I had everything worked out beautifully, ready to sing a song, and the rest of the guys were there waiting to start, and then he was just like, I don't want to do anything, and he said, sing something a cappella. And I was like, what? He's like, anything you want, anything. So I think I sang, I was like, Otis Redding, something like Try a Little Tenderness, or one of those songs, or it was Been Loving You Too Long, I think it was one of those. And about, yeah, I got through like one verse and half a bridge chorus-y thing, and he just said, stop. He goes, that's it, you're in.
Just like that.
Yeah, and the other guys were like, hey man, wait a minute, we gotta go. He said, man, fine man, we're going through the motions, but I'm telling you, this is the guy.
This is the guy right here.
And so he was looking for somebody who had that soulful background that could translate his lyrics and his melodies accurately also.
Yeah.
When we wrote together. So we really worked well writing together and everything. So it was great. So anyway, that's...
Yeah, you guys just clicked. Yeah, that's cool. I understand that. Yeah. Any heroes and influences? Who do you look up to as far as an influence,
Wait, I need to finish that last...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Genres of music, everything and anything. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. And it doesn't matter to me what genre it is. I write so many styles of so many different genres. Our other group, Elliot Waits for No One, that my wife and I do, is completely polar opposite from any of that. I mean, we have trumpet, we have cello. It's a very different thing. I mean, one of my favorite all-time artists, believe it or not, is Tom Waits. So I'm way into this dark folk kind of thing too, and I play guitar.
Yeah.
And I finger pick acoustic guitar mainly, but I'm multi-instrumental, and I play guitar, bass, keys, do percussion. I can play. It's basically, it almost seems like any instrument I want to put my hands on.
You're just a natural born musician, yeah.
I think, or an idiot savant, one of the two.
Yeah, you're just a talent. You're a talent, natural born talent.
It could be a little of both. Okay, on to the next thing. Sorry about that.
Very cool. I was asking, do you have any? Of course you do. Who are your heroes as far as bands growing up or even nowadays? Who do you look up to?
Who would be a band? God, I really love King's X.
Oh, wow.
I was a huge Soundgarden fan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Alice in Chains. all the early metal stuff that I aforementioned, you know, Priest and Maiden and all that stuff. Maiden was my mainstay. I mean, I think I thought I was Bruce Dickinson when I was like, you know, my early 20s, 19s, 20s.
Yeah.
And I used to sing for a band called Hammer-On back then. That was another cool band. So yeah, and nowadays, I mean, as far as John Bush, for sure, I always looked up to him. We mentioned Chuck Billy too. There was a Lejeune from Seven Dust, for sure. Who else? Yeah, I mainly seem to gravitate towards a lot of the more soulful style singers, I guess, for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah, that's all. Those are all cool names right there. Badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other go ahead. Sorry.
I said Scott Weiland a little
bit. Oh, yeah, of course. He's badass, yeah. Creed and... any other projects you might want to mention that for people to know about, or maybe past or present, you know?
I've been kind of name dropping them in there as we go along, kind of sprinkling them in there, haven't I?
Right.
Hammer-On was that was an '80s band. We kind of have this cult following thing, especially in Greece. We did open for Motley Crue at the Limelight in Chicago, downtown Chicago. It was huge. It was for an MTV Halloween Horror Night. That was probably the pinnacle of our thing, and that was in like '86, I think.
Wow.
And then we went to go, I think we lasted until about '89, almost 8 years we were together. And our drummer, Jeff Ward, who also, when we broke up, you know, he went his way. I went to Cyclone Temple. Well, actually, it was called Snow White when I joined him, with a Z-N-O, White, Snow White.
Yeah.
And I went to them. He went with Al Jorgensen and Ministry. And I think it was like Jello Biafra from the band Lard, and he did some stuff. Then he ended up becoming a drummer for Nine Inch Nails and touring on Lollapalooza and everything before he tragically took his own life. That was quite a long time ago, but Jeff was a good buddy of mine. But man, do you want to talk about a drummer? Oh my God.
Yeah.
The guy was a machine. And Hammer-On was a very melodic thing, but cool. That's probably worth checking out. I mean, it's going to sound dated, but it's still cool.
Is that on YouTube or Spotify?
Hammer-On, yeah, I believe it's on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. There was a reissue of Nothing to Do But Rock, and then a compilation of some other demos that they put on that they called Wired for Sound, and they did a limited release of CDs and vinyl from a company called No Remorse Records out of Greece.
Okay. Very cool.
I just saw one of the original EPs, LPs, sell for $3,000.
Really?
Yeah.
From your own band?
Yeah.
Wow. That's badass. I mean, it's they're out of print for sure. But that's cool. Wow. To see your own band sell an LP for that much.
I wish I could rip the picture back of that thing.
Yeah.
The picture is just like, every time I see it, I'm like, why?
One of those things that you look back in time and why?
I mean, it was like 1986. I probably shouldn't have to say anymore.
Yeah, your kids, yeah.
Well, that and just, you know, the outfits and the hair, yeah, it was just whatever.
Yeah.
If you go to look it up, for your audience, yeah, you look it up, you'll see what I mean.
I'll check it out. Close. If it's 80s, usually it's sometimes it's strange, and yeah, but you know, times change, you know, the styles fads, you know, yeah.
It's really strange when you're like living through them.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
But anyway, yeah, it's probably worth checking out.
Before we let you go, Brian, would you like to send a message to all the rock metal fans and Vontae fans listening to this podcast?
Definitely want to shout out to all the Vontae fans, tons of new fans. Come on and check out the interview. Definitely want to shout out to all your fans and try to get everyone over to join the Vontae movement, man. We'll be looking for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian, for your time. And we hope to see you in Texas soon, or anywhere in the world, really, for that matter. So appreciate that.
You got it, brother.
Very cool conversation there with Mr. Brian Trock. And we thank you, Brian. Thank you for making time and spending time with us here on That Metal Interview podcast, the People's Podcast, rock and metal, all rock and all metal. As we do cover death metal, we cover regular heavy metal, and we cover rock and roll and hard rock and all that stuff. So glam rock, we do all that stuff. So probably the only podcast
that covers all of these genres, really. I mean, how many podcasts do you know that cover death metal and glam rock? Or hard rock and thrash metal? None, probably. So I do claim to be the only podcast that does that, okay? So don't forget that. That Metal Interview podcast does all of those genres under the umbrella of rock and metal. Anything from glam rock to hard rock to thrash metal to death metal. And we've had a couple of black metal artists on our show before. So anyways, whatever the case is, we appreciate your presence and your support. Our friends and thrashers and rockers, right? So thank you guys. And thank you to Brian Trock of Vante for making time and being a part of this podcast. And keep rocking, man. You guys are doing a great, great job. So you guys, the fanatics listening to this podcast, all you rock fanatics, go ahead and check out Vante's socials, YouTube. Check out their live performances and support them. Go up to their merch booth and purchase merchandise, as that will help support the band, right? Financially and in every way. So thank you guys for supporting That Metal Interview podcast, and thank you to Brian. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.